Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and today we are going to talk a little bit about the Final Four in men's NCAA basketball. But first, we're going to hear a little bit from our friends about Anchor. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back here at Sports Talk with Tonsoni. Going to talk a little bit about the NCAA Final Four, where we have Virginia versus Auburn in the first game Saturday, followed by Michigan State and Texas Tech. Great tournament so far in the NCAA, and an exceptional weekend in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight brought some very close games and some interesting results. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about them, give you a little bit of information heading into this weekend's games. I sent out a tweet that got a lot of attention after the final game on Sunday. And there's a thing about the Final Four this year that is unique. And the tweet mentioned what many people may think about certain teams and that have made it versus what I personally as a fan and as a coach think about the Final Four teams. And I just want to clarify a little bit about that. But you hear a lot about Virginia's style being boring, and they do have a low possession type of offense. They take their time. They play the pack line defense. It's a slower type of game, and to many people in this day and age, offense and scoring points is what they prefer to watch. And I can understand where people will say Virginia's style is boring, but winning to me is very, very important, and Virginia has won and won consistently. They overcame a great loss last year to the 16th seed, an embarrassing loss to make it back to the Final Four. And the thing that I like about Virginia is that they guard, and I still believe that defense matters and defense wins, and I said so in the tweet. And even though Carson Edwards went off for 42 points, Virginia's defense was part of the reason that they were still in the game despite an incredible performance, offensive performance. And so I don't find Virginia to be boring. I find winning to be exciting, and there are many different styles to winning. There's also the thought about Texas Tech and their defense only. Well, they were able to put up some points against Gonzaga. And the Culver young man is exciting at 18, 19 points a game. But their guards, the Moretti and Mooney, the guards for Texas Tech are exciting, are big shot makers. And so when we say, you know, I made the comment on Twitter, defense wins. Well, you do need some offense. And these teams are capable offensively. Michigan State's capable offensively. Virginia, Kyle Guy found his stroke late after spraining his ankle. You do need to put points on the board. Teams that just play solid defense but have no offense are not going to be seen in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. But I think ultimately to win six games in a row, teams with a defensive mindset that can limit some of the great offensive players that are in the college game have a better chance of winning than teams that do not guard and rely solely on offense. Auburn, a little bit different. Auburn has a fast pace and shoots a lot of threes. But, you know, they went small in the game against Kentucky and really took advantage of driving and getting two-point field goals to go in as they only shot 30% from three in the Elite Eight game. And they were able to cause the post players from Kentucky a little bit of difficulty with their speed and quickness in turning Kentucky over. So, you know, I think it it is important to look at the total package of these teams, not just defense, not just offense, and one side of the ball is going to win. But I do think if you're a fan of a program, you would like to see your team be able to guard and then be able to make some shots and make some plays on the offensive end. And I think that's what you see in the four teams that are in the Final Four. And the last thing that has gathered a lot of press is Tom Izzo's treatment of his Henry in the timeout. You know, Izzo's come under fire in the past for some of his the behaviors of the staff, and those are all fair game. But coaching takes on many different styles. And Coach Izzo has a gruff, upfront style, but he sets the tone in practice when the film is and the television cameras are not running. And those players, I would say most of those players that go through Michigan State's program trust Coach Izzo and understand that when he gets fired up and gets in your face, that he wants what's best for the individual player. And we saw that when Henry in the Sweet 16 game scored 20 points and grabbed several rebounds. And so it's easy for the media to get caught up in a film where Izzo confronts a player face-to-face and nose-to-nose in a timeout, and to say that that type of coaching is not there. But there's a lot of care and appreciation that goes on before that that episode that people do not see. And I think it's fair to say that Coach Izzo does a good job of holding his players accountable for the stuff on the basketball court, and that's why he's one of the best coaches around. So I think we have an interesting Final Four. The concept of one and dones, I think one and dones are good for college basketball. Having Zion in the game and having Ben Simmons in the game and Markelle Fultz, and for Indiana having Romeo Langford, makes for better basketball. There's no doubt about it. And when the NBA goes back to accepting these young men into the NBA, the product in the college game is going to probably be a little bit lesser. Probably is not the right word, will be a lot less. And so I think we need to appreciate what Zion brought to to NCAA basketball and to college basketball viewers. The question is it a winning formula? And I find two areas of concern with using one and dones. When you have one top elite player and a bunch of young players, the results have not been very good. And that one player has a lot of pressure as a five-star to carry an entire program. And without veteran presence, sometimes that causes a problem. You have Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz not making the tournament, Romeo Langford at Indiana not making the tournament, Noah Vonleh, a one-and-done at Indiana, not making the tournament. These guys came to those schools, did everything they could, made those teams probably better. But ultimately, youth and only one and done is probably not a recipe to go far into the NCAA tournament or have an incredibly successful season. The other problem that we're seeing in Duke and Kentucky getting knocked out of the Elite Eight is that these talented players are still freshmen. And some of the experience that the Texas Techs, the Virginias, the Michigan States have does trump some of the outstanding and incredible talent. It doesn't mean that the talent can't win. It doesn't mean that Coach Calipari and Coach Krzyzewski have done a bad job of coaching. It's just that when the tournament gets down to the last eight teams, all of these teams can play. And I think sometimes the difference is experience. And experience trumps overall talent, maybe just by a point, maybe in overtime in certain situations. But I think what we're seeing recently is the collection of one and dones is a little more difficult to win in the tournament than a lot of people had thought to be the case. I personally would like to see these young men have a chance to go straight into the NBA if that's their goal to do that. I understand the product will be a little bit less, and maybe I'm just showing a little bit of my age in the fact that I want players to play for Indiana. I appreciate that players play for Purdue. I appreciate the Kyle guys who play 4 years. To me, that is college basketball and the difference between college basketball and professional basketball, and why I prefer college basketball to the association. I think there is some interesting coaching situations that occurred in the Final Four. One is Coach Painter fouling up three, and it did not work this time. In December, we covered the Purdue-Maryland game at Mackey Arena, and they fouled. Purdue was up three and fouled Maryland and ended up winning by two. And we asked Coach Painter why he did that, and he just thought that it was – there's a lot of shot makers in the game. Maryland had some shot makers, and obviously Virginia had some shot makers in the NCAA Elite Eight game. And that it takes one – thing, a made shot to send that game into overtime. If you foul, it takes a made free throw, a purposely missed free throw, a rebound, and a basket to beat you, or two made free throws, a foul on the entry, some missed free throws on the other end, a long full court attack to beat or tie you. And the thought that Matt Painter said in the interview in December was, it takes a series of events to beat you, and that they'd rather force a series of events than just rely on one event, and that event being displayed by Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome hitting shots. I, as a coach, have always wanted to play defense. I am changing that philosophy more, especially under, 10 seconds, definitely under 6 or 7 seconds, to think that fouling is probably the best way. And what I admire about Coach Painter is that he had a philosophy, he was developing it, he thought through not only why he would like to foul, but also some of the problems. And in that interview, and it's on our Twitter page at Delphi Bracketology, the 2-minute response, he gave a great response about his concerns about fouling a guy in the act of shooting. Does someone at the half court, when you're about to foul them on the dribble, act like they're shooting? Does that get called a 3-shot foul? So there's some concerns, and he was aware of those concerns. And to me, that shows good coaching. Sticking with Coach Painter, no one really talks about the last play where the ball got fumbled out of bounds, but I think that was excellent design. When teams, Virginia was up 3, and the likelihood that Virginia was going to foul after the ball was dribbled up half court, he had Carson Edwards make a cut to catch the ball going towards their own goal. He also had Ryan Klein, a viable 3-point shooter, make a cut across the baseline. And what he instructed Carson to do was pitch it ahead so Klein could catch it at the 3-point line and either shoot, or if Virginia was going to attempt to foul Ryan Klein, he could act like he was in the act of shooting because the ball was going to be advanced from the backcourt to the 3-point line via the pass instead of via the dribble. When the ball went out of bounds, then Purdue had to foul Virginia, and the game was over at a 5-point difference. But that play design, you could see it when the CBS cameras went into the huddle. You could see the diagram. The players executed it except for catching the ball, and that's not Klein's fault. That's not Carson's fault. Sometimes a bad pass happens. But you do need to give credit, I think, to Coach Painter for saying, hey, they're going to foul us. Let's not dribble it up and give them a chance to foul and eat some clock up. We're going to catch on the run, one dribble, and pitch that ball ahead into a spot where we can attempt to get a shot off from a good 3-point shooter. Or if they do attempt to foul, we can act like we're going into the act of shooting and maybe get 3 free throws. Didn't see that mentioned a lot. I think Painter did a great job. Coach Izzo, on his ball screen offense, purposely attacked a post player from Duke, Delorier, I'm probably not saying the name right, and did not put Zion Williamson in ball screen defense on purpose. In fact, Cassius Winston waved away the player that Zion was doing. They thought they could take advantage of that by Duke switching, and sometimes they would switch and then the guard would come back and grab Cassius Winston. And there were a few times when Winston beat the big to the basket. But another thing that they did was it put Zion into a help situation. And Zion is very quick to help. He loves to block shots. And so they took advantage of his aggressiveness. And eventually, the last play where Goins hits a 3, Zion was looking to help. Cassius was screening. He was in the lane and he was a half a second late and couldn't use his explosiveness to block the shot. And so, you know, this is where Tom Izzo coming into the Final Four against a great defensive team led by Chris Beard at Texas Tech, he'll have 4 days to really think through how does he want to attack the matchups, what does Texas Tech do against their ball screen. And I think those kinds of things are what really make coaching exciting to follow. I thought Bruce Pearl did a good job of going small with the injury that they had to Okiki and then some of their foul trouble they had with the bigs that replaced them. They went a little bit smaller, and defensively and offensively that gave fits to Kentucky's bigs. And sometimes you think that the mismatch is on the smaller team against the bigger team, but it turned out that the run that put Auburn into the Final Four was his decision to go a lot smaller. So those kind of coaching decisions are interesting to watch. Sometimes we pick them up as fans. As a basketball coach myself, I do look for those kind of coaching strategies. And those were just a few of the many that I think were displayed in the Elite Eight. So that brings to the matchups and who's going to win this weekend. I think it's Auburn versus Virginia is going to be a battle of pace. Auburn's going to want to go up and down the floor. Brown and Harper, their guards, both averaging over 15 points a game. How is Auburn going to deal with the loss of their third leading scorer, Okiki, against some size of Virginia? The sizes of Virginia doesn't necessarily isn't utilized for offensive threat, but the key is going to be rebounding. Auburn has shown the ability to gang rebound and to rebound effectively enough to win games. I mean, they have beat Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. So to write off this Auburn team now that they got to the Final Four is simply not something that we as fans should do. They love to shoot the three, and as Purdue showed, when you get hot from three, you can hit some threes against Virginia. Virginia does, with their pack line, limit the drives. So there will be three-point opportunities for Auburn. If they hit 11, 12, 13, they're going to be in the ballgame. Purdue hit 14 in their loss to Virginia. The telltale sign, though, is Virginia's two-point defense. Purdue struggled in the first half to attack in the lane. And Matt Painter made another good adjustment. He went with some bigs later in the second half, and they did try to force the ball inside. They posted their guards inside. Does Auburn have the ability to do that? Do they have the ability to attack and get two-point field goals? Because really, Auburn won the game against Kentucky with their two-point attack by driving the mismatches and getting to the lane and getting some driving kicks. They only hit 30% of their threes, which was not Auburn-like. It was their two-point scoring that won. I think the two-point scoring against Virginia, who plays a defense better than Kentucky, is going to be tough. And when you rely on the three, sometimes you can die on the three. I know that's cliche to say. I think this is going to be a tight one. I think Auburn has a great chance of winning. Anyone in this weekend has a great chance of winning. I think Virginia is going to squeak out another game similar to Purdue. I think Auburn's going to hit some threes. But ultimately, the rebounding of Virginia and the two-point pack line defense of Virginia is going to be enough for Virginia to go into Monday's championship game. The second game, Michigan State versus Texas Tech, is much tougher to try to determine. I think Michigan State has the offense to win. Winston at 19 points a game is an incredible point guard in scoring and in running the offense. And you have guys like Tillman, McQuaid, Goins, Henry, all have been known to step up and hit shots or score points based on matchups. I think Tom Izzo will find the weakness, or attempt to find the weakness in an outstanding defense from Texas Tech and try to utilize that over and over and over again to the Spartans' advantage. Texas Tech is a team that is, I believe, fun to watch. When you just guard and take people out of what they want to do, Michigan scored in the 40s. Gonzaga didn't score 70 points, and Gonzaga's offense was one of the best offenses in the country this year. It wouldn't put it past Texas Tech winning this ball game. Michigan State lost a few games this year, a couple when the point guards really were able to guard Cassius and take away his driving ability and his floaters. And I think that's where Texas Tech has to win this game. So do they put Moriarty? Do they put Mooney? Can those guards really shut down Winston? That is the key. And Texas Tech and Chris Beard have found a way. I'm going to go with Michigan State based simply on, I think, Winston is solid. Culver needs to have a great game for Texas Tech. I think this one comes down to the wire. I would not be surprised to see Texas Tech beat Michigan State because of their defense. This one, I'm going to flip a coin, but I'm going to say it's going to be Michigan State versus Virginia for the championship, and I'm probably going to go with Virginia to cut it down and be a story, losing as a one seed to the 16 seed 1 year and then winning the championship the next year, simply based on the ability to defend. And I think defense wins. And again, you need offense. So Kyle Guy and DeAndre Hunter are going to have to be able to score. Ty Jerome is going to have to continue his shot making against two quality teams. But I think when you make life tough for the other team's offense, I think you really have a chance to win in a game. And so I think Virginia wins it all. I wouldn't be surprised to see either Michigan State or Texas Tech in a very tight game. But I think it's going to be a fun Final Four because it's going to be team basketball, offense and defense, that's going to be the difference. So great tournament this year. I think it's been one of the better ones. Maybe not so many upsets, a few close games in the Sweet 16, but overall some really good basketball, a lot to talk about, and we hope that you enjoy watching Saturday and Sunday as the NCAA basketball season wraps up. And we look forward to November again with everyone's teams, hopes and dreams alive for making the tournament and making that run once again. So for Sports Talk with Tonsoni, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Check us out at sportstalkwithtonsoni.com. We'll get back into covering some sports. Delphi Bracketology is going to be undergoing a new webpage design this summer. As we look forward to bringing you information on college football and college basketball next year, we appreciate everyone who has followed us on both this podcast and Delphi Bracketology. It's been a fun year, and we look to start bringing weekly podcasts to Sports Talk with Tonsoni in a variety of topics about a variety of sports, maybe get some coaches, some players on just for a variety of listening experiences. So thanks for your support. Contact us through Twitter at SportsTons for this podcast, at Sony42 for me personally, and at Delphi Brackets for Delphi Bracketology. So long, happy hoops watching.